You are listening to BensTorah.com.
One of the strangest aspects of the interaction between Yosef and his brothers came about when they first saw him, when they came down to Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says that Yosef recognized his brothers and they did not recognize him. So Chazal explained this happened because Yosef did not have a beard when he was sold into slavery, and now he had a beard. Now, if we think about this, it's very strange. I recently went to a chasana, and I met a friend of mine who I haven't seen in over 30 years. It took less than 1 minute for me to recognize him. In addition, let's add up all the facts surrounding Yosef and his brother's interaction with him. It was common knowledge that Yosef was an Ivri, and once a slave who came to Egypt many years ago. Yosef showed an unusual interest in their father's welfare. Now, that's totally bizarre for a ruler of Egypt who considered himself godlike to all of a sudden care about this old Jew who was living in Canaan. Yosef knew intimate details about them, as the Medrash tells us. He even knew what type of wood each one had their cribs made out of. The brothers knew that their Yosef was in Egypt by the fact that they entered with the intention to go and find him. They thought he was a slave someplace in an unsavory place. Yosef said, "Ha'elokim ani yore, I fear Hashem." What Egyptian monarch would mention Hashem when they had a whole pantheon of their own gods? They worshiped baboons, snakes, sheep. Ha'elokim ani yore, that is very strange. Especially when we find that Moshe Rabbeinu confronted Paro, he didn't even know who Hashem was. Even in the books of the gods that Paro brought out, they couldn't find Hashem's name. Yet Yosef and his son Menashe, who was in charge of his house, were constantly talking about Hashem. Taking all this evidence into consideration, the reality is there was much, much more. You did not have to be Sherlock Holmes to go and put two and two together and figure out that this guy standing in front of him, dressed like an Egyptian, was really Yosef. So what in the world's going on? So we find in Nach that David HaMelech had what we would call an affair with Bathsheba. Now the Gemara struggles to find out what the Avera was, and the conclusion was there wasn't any real Avera. However, for someone on David's stature, it was inappropriate on certain levels. Now, when the Navi came to rebuke David, he began by telling him a story of a rich man who stole his neighbor, who was a poor man, his only sheep, and shechted it to give to his guests. And the Navi asked David, what should be done with the rich man? What should be the judgment? David pronounced harsh judgments on the rich man. And the Navi said to him, you are the rich man. And then David said, I have sinned. Now the question is obvious. Why did the Navi just chastise David in a straightforward manner? Why do you have to tell a whole story about a sheep, a rich man, a poor man? But we see, even for a tzaddik like David HaMelech, there is a tremendous power of self-justification. David really felt he did nothing wrong. When he was confronted with a similar situation involving someone else, the sheep case, his defenses were down. And then he could see the truth and apply it to himself. The same was true with the Shvatim. The Shvatim truly believed that Yosef was evil. They believed that Avram had a bad son, Yishmael. Yitzchak had a bad son, Esav. So Avram also had Yaakov had a bad son, Yosef. They believed he was a roidev. He was running after the Shvatim to destroy Klal Yisrael through his Dibra Ra and his dreams. He was a Mord B'Malchus. Everyone knew that Yehuda was supposed to be king, and he wanted to be king, and he deserved death. There was no way that Yosef was meritorious at all to be Zeicha, to have the merit to be a king, or successful on any level. We see that Yosef had to leave the room several times and cry when he heard his brothers doing tshuva. However, what type of tshuva did the brothers actually do? Did their tshuva change their original assumptions? A careful examination of the psukim shows only a slight change in their mindset. When Yosef put them in prison for 3 days, and later he said that he will keep one hostage, Shimon, until they bring down Binyamin, Shimon said to Levi, "We are guilty about our brother because we saw his suffering when he pleaded to us and we did not listen to him. That is why all this suffering came to us." Reuven then said, "I told you not to sin with the boy, and you did not listen. Now his blood is demanded." They're only regretting the way they treated him. They're not questioning their original assumptions about Yosef's integrity. In addition, their tshuva was limited in its depth. We see later on, when Levi found that his money was returned to him in his sack, he said, "What did Hashem do to us?" And on this, the Gemara quotes the pasuk, "The sins of a man corrupt his ways, and when he gets punished for his actions, he gets mad at Hashem." Even though the Shvatim accepted responsibility for their actions, it was only a partial responsibility. They still wanted to believe that their fundamentals about Yosef were correct, that he was a Rasha. Therefore, even though all the evidence pointed to the fact that this guy standing in front of him, this second in command in Egypt, was Yosef, they could not see it. Now we can understand the way tshuva works. It's like an onion. We peel away one layer at a time until we get to the root causes of our actions. The reality is that there are no simple cause and effects when it comes to our actions, thoughts, and feelings. That is why true tshuva takes a lifetime of work coupled with a Rebbe who can guide a person to the ultimate truth about themselves. Unfortunately, the Shvatim did not get to the root of their actions, which was based on gaiva, lack of achdus, sinas chinam, and kina. That was why when Yosef kissed Binyamin, he cried over the loss of the two Bate Mikdashim that was in Binyamin's chelek, and Binyamin cried over the destruction of Shiloh, which was in Yosef's chelek. These events had their ultimate cause from the bad midos of gaiva and sinas chinam in Klal Yisrael. Yosef wanted the process to continue so that the second dream, the nevuah, that Yaakov and the all 11 stars would be forced to come down to Mitzrayim and bow down to Yosef. That whole process, if it would have happened the way the dream predicted it, that would have uprooted their gaiva and created a greater achdus. We see that Yosef had planned for more by the very fact that again he had their money put back into their sacks a second time. What Yosef's ultimate plan was, we may never know. However, Yosef saw, according to the way the Medrash explains it, that the Shvatim were starting to get violent and it could lead to bloodshed. So he had to stop short of his plans. Even when Yosef revealed himself to the brothers, the Sina, the revelation how totally wrong they were, was not completely uprooted. It's Tosfos says, only severe slavery, where in Egypt, where everything was taken away and the intense physical torment would break the gaiva and then form the bonds of achdus and ava between Klal Yisrael, and only then, through that terrible situation, could they become a united nation, an Am Hashem. We always have to remember, the same way we go from level to a higher level in our ruchnius, at the same time, we have to go from level to level in our tshuva.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.